Welcome again to our study of the Gospel of John. Our text today comes from chapter 20, verse 11. It tells us that Mary Magdalene stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain. They spoke to her. They said, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When they asked that question, "Woman, are you weeping?" were they looking for information? Would you go to a funeral parlor and see a mother next to a casket of her son and say, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Well, you better not. We know why she's weeping. But what's wrong with these angels? Didn't they know what was going on? Didn't they know that the body of Jesus had disappeared? Oh, angels know. They have superior knowledge. Their question is, why are you weeping instead of rejoicing? Here you are mourning over the dead body of Jesus which has disappeared. And the question seems to really be, don't you know that he has risen? Why are you weeping? You ought to be joyous instead. Well, the angels were aware of the resurrection, and they assumed that she was also. But she was not. And she gives an answer to the angels, and by the way, it's rather surprising, is it not? She doesn't say, "Who are you fellows?" She has no interest in them at all, perhaps because of her grief. This was a traumatic time for Mary Magdalene. The man who had walked on water, who raised the dead, who healed thousands upon thousands of people, who fed 5,000 at one time, who did marvelous miracles and healings among the people and spoke for God, and could read people's minds, is now dead, as far as she is concerned. Mary has been devastated by the turn of events, and she can think of nothing else and is only interested in where is the body of Jesus. And so her answer is, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." I want to call attention to something very strange in her statement. Did you hear what Mary said? She is referring to the body of Jesus as her Lord. What this amounts to is that she believes she has a dead Lord. She knows nothing yet about the great truth of the living Christ, and many of us, I fear, are like her in that we do not understand that when a Christian dies, we see the body, but the spirit is alive and has gone to be with the Lord. Mary should have been asking, "I do not know where they have put his body." But instead she said, "I do not know where they have put him." Once a person dies, all we have is the body remaining, not the person. And the body ought not to be referred to as a who or a he. From Paul's teaching, we learn this wonderful truth that is of the greatest comfort when one of our loved ones dies. And everyone listening, I'm sure, has experienced losing a loved one. That's the nature of things here on earth. We are born to die. We are made of dust. We are natural people. We are mortals, and death takes us. It takes us back to dust. But because of the resurrection of Christ, the sting of death is gone. Our brother, the Apostle Paul, has given us instruction about this wonderful truth beginning in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He writes, "For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down," and that's a reference to the body, "we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, shall not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, in order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight, we are of good courage, I say, and prefer, rather, to be absent from the body, and to be home with the Lord. Therefore also, we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. Notice Paul does not talk about an in-between place. That is, you are either in the body or absent from the body. And if you are absent from the body, you are aware you are with the Lord, not any place else. Not out on some planet waiting to be captured or gathered in or any other place. We are either here or there. Our bodies, you see, are a dwelling place for the immaterial part of us. At death, according to the Bible, our spirits go into the Lord's presence. We then ought not, as believers, to hold on to the body of a loved one when that person dies, for the person himself is gone. We need to understand that the promises which God has made are real, and that a spirit cannot die. Our spirit upon death goes to be with the Lord. We may weep for the loss of a loved one, but that weeping is usually for ourselves, not for the one we have lost, if we understand Scripture. We should not be weeping for the deceased believer, because he is in a better place. And remember, in most cases, when a believer dies, he dies because of weaknesses, disease, illness, and pain in the body. And it's better then that he go to be with the Lord than to remain here. That may not take away the pain that we feel. It may not take away the loneliness. But it can bring joy to the heart to know that God has promised us a home in heaven, and that someday this body itself will be raised and it will be changed. Death, of course, is not a pleasant experience. It is real. There's a loss, a tremendous loss, especially for those who have lost children or for married couples. It's something that we don't want to experience, but we will. And I hope that this study today will help you prepare for this kind of an experience. Look at your mate, if you're married, as someone given to you as a temporary blessing, but not forever, for there is no marriage in heaven. The Bible doesn't say we marry in heaven, so you won't have your spouse there as your own. We will all be the same. We will all be like angels, not angels, just like them, without any kind of family connection. So we need to look at this realistically. Are we occupied with this life only and with our family affairs and our family ties? If we're preoccupied with it to the place where we can't tolerate to think of losing a loved one, then we have not benefited from the message of the gospel. Christianity has given us a real hope. The resurrection of Christ means that there is life for everyone who believes in Him, and it's something that we need to consider. Now, we may not want to be like the angels and say at a believer's funeral, "Why are you weeping?" But it would be a perfectly correct thing to say theologically. If we are at a Christian funeral and someone is weeping, we can say, "Martha, your husband is with the Lord according to the Bible. Rejoice in your heart. Go ahead and cry if you desire, but remember the words of our Lord and rejoice in your heart." Friends, this is just as real as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you can believe that Jesus Christ arose, you can believe that your loved one will also rise in God's own time. That's a promise that is just as secure as John 3:16, or I should say John 3:14 and 15, where Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And when Jesus talked about the sureness of life, he preceded it often with the words, "Truly, truly," such as in John 5:24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." The Bible tells us that when we are absent from the body, we are present with the Lord. Listen to Paul again on this subject in regard to the departure of the Spirit. That's in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. "According to my earnest expectation and hope, that I shall not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ shall even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better, yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake." Do you see what Paul is saying? The only reason he wanted to stay here on this earth is to be of help to God's people, to teach them, to build them up, and to bring them joy. But he said it would be far better to depart from this body and go to be with the Lord. Some of our listeners may not be aware that all of these teachings on the Radio Bible Course are available on cassette tapes. Not only this study, but many others are included in our brochure entitled Teaching Tapes. You'll want to get a copy of that. Some people use these tapes to help prepare their own studies for their own Bible classes. You can get a copy of our brochure entitled Teaching Tapes. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.